D's got 33.
That hit nothing but net.
99-87, Warriors with 7:50 to go.
This just in, Kevin Durant's really good at basketball.
Who was that call from? Who are those two dudes?
That's the, come on, man, that's the Warriors play-by-play guy.
Nothing but net.
That's the way he talks.
He should practice that thing. Well, he's got to say that all the time. Just, they shot 60% in the game last night.
Make fun of?
No, I'm sorry. I don't like making fun of people.
Gosh, I mean, for a guy who has been touting the Warriors, you sound pretty disgruntled that Kevin Durant played so well.
No, not at all. I thought that was...
He was incredible last night. By the way, James Harden and Kevin Durant were... I apologize, Oklahoma City. They were incredible last night.
I feel like I'm over it. I'm over it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I thought it was a pretty weak move when it happened, but I think now it's 2 years later. I mean,
it is what it is.
He clearly made the right decision to go to a team that's going to facilitate his skill the way that it is. And then that was no surprise at the time that was going to happen. I mean, the ball movement is going to get the ball to him. He's going to be their best player. He's going to be their number one option of what we saw last night, and he's virtually impossible to stop. He maximized the ability for his career. So, wow. I would love to have seen him play in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that playing in Golden State's better for his game. So it doesn't bother me anymore to see Kevin Durant have some success. Now, when he acts like a jackass, I mean, on Twitter or something like that.
We rip him properly. He's got some.
To see a beautiful played basketball game like he did last night.
He's got some insecurities. He's got thin skin. Cares way too much what people he shouldn't care about think about him or want to say about him. But as far as basketball goes, he's an incredible basketball player. Scores the basketball with ease as easily as anybody I've seen. And, you know, with Houston switch and all those things, I mean, how many times did we see, and P.J. Tucker's a good defender, but P.J. Tucker can't defend Kevin Durant.
When I heard that last week, P.J. Tucker's going to guard Kevin Durant.
Chris Paul switching on to Kevin Durant several times. Chris Paul's a good defender, but Kevin Durant's 6'10", 6'11". And they can't even get a hand in his face. No. I mean, he was getting such easy looks last night. It was crazy.
No disrespect to your kids, but that's like you and Jackson and Hudson in the driveway. KD shooting over P.J. Tucker. They're feisty. Yes. Are they going to get it in your face? Yes. But they're not going to be able to get the hand up there where it needs to defend the shot from the big fella. The more that KD plays like he did last night, the more that he plays like he did in the championship series last year, the less people are going to talk about you took the easy way out. Because he's the best around here, maybe more.
I was going to say around here, it's even more so.
Less the national narrative is going to be that, and the more it's going to be this guy's just one bad man. I mean, he's the best player on that team.
Everyone knew he was a bad man before. Now he's just going to be.
But now he's playing on that stage where he's in championship.
Now he's just going to have jewelry all over his finger.
He's gone further than he's gone. So far, let's hear from the TNT crew what they had to say after the game last night.
I am just so depressed right now.
Tell him, Chuck.
I am hurt tonight.
This should not be a time of depression. This is the third time in the playoffs you've said I'm so depressed. And why are you so depressed tonight?
Anybody who think the Rockets gonna win a game or win this series is an idiot.
You're declaring this a sweep
this
after one game?
This is over, Ernie.
There's no way you're going to beat the mighty Golden City Warriors. One or two guys taking all the shots.
No, you can't earn it. Listen, you just see this game.
Go Cougs, man.
The Rockets can't beat them. Like I said, I picked the Warriors in five.
Can they win a game?
No. They're not going to win a game.
What if they just have the others hitting a couple shots, Harden, Paul,
no.
Goes off?
Hey, I picked the Warriors in five. I want to say I'm taking the Warriors in three.
He said, I've taken the Warriors in three. I've got the Rockets in seven. I'm going to continue to cheer for the Rockets, but I will say my hope for the Rockets winning in seven last night became a little bit of a reality check. And I think the Rockets are still a really good team. The Golden State Warriors, it appears, and again, anything can happen, and I'll continue to root on your Rockets, Missile, but it appears they're outmanned and outmatched. If Kevin Durant wasn't on the Warriors, I think the Houston Rockets, that'd be a great series. I think the Houston Rockets would potentially beat them. But with Kevin Durant added to that roster, it's just, he's the trump card. And, it's going to be hard for me to see Houston being able to win this series. But I'm still going to, one thing I don't like though, is they basically, you know, in the TNT, they're just being real, but basically telling you there's no reason to even watch this thing. And I disagree with that because I thought at the very least that was a 13-point game. I was entertained for four quarters.
The first half is 56-56.
I was highly, highly entertained. The third quarter is where Golden State kind of pulled away in the fourth.
It's worth watching. James Harden was great last night individually. And I think that this series, Houston's going to win a game or two. I don't think they're going to win more than that, but they've got a chance to win some. They'll get hot, and they'll hit some of the threes that they missed last night.
They missed a lot of threes.
So I disagree that this series is not worth watching. It was absolutely worth the time that I invested in the game.
I thought it was incredible last night.
Last night, for sure. What is Shaq doing? I mean, I think he's on that set to provide some levity, and I think the other two guys are on there to provide a lot of analysis. But when Shaq starts talking about the others, I guess that there's a little bit of a valid point in that the Rockets need to get some shots for the other guys. But James Harden played a great game last night, and he was hitting everything and facilitating the offense. And anytime that they pass to somebody else, they're not making any shots. I mean, Gerald Green hit one shot when they made a little bit of a run, and Eric Gordon hit a couple shots. But I don't know. Shaq, to me, was just – he's lost a lot of times.
Missile, your team down 0-1. I'm not trying to bury them just yet, but, boy, you could see last night Golden State presents a lot of problems. What were your thoughts on game one?
Oh, I mean, it's only one game. I think people overreact too much. The Rockets missed a ton of layups at the rim. They definitely have to play better defense. You can't let Klay Thompson get, you know, three open three-pointers. Can't let Durant get open three-pointers. So, I mean, their defense needs a lot of improvement, and they just got to make their shots at the rim. I mean, I guess credit Durant and Draymond Green, who did pretty well at rim protecting last night, but the Rockets still got to make some of those layups.
James Harden definitely missed a point-blank layup right there at the front of the rim. They didn't shoot the three ball extremely well either. They missed a lot of, I thought, several open looks. On the flip side of that, between Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, they didn't shoot the three overly well either, so maybe that's a little bit of a wash, but it definitely felt like Golden State. One thing that I did agree with was some of the TNT analysis. It did, watching, look like Golden State was way more in flow and getting much easier looks, while it seemed like Houston was really having to work hard. How many times did they get shot clock violations or have the ball in their hands and just throw up wild shots right there at the end of the shot clock? So, I definitely thought Golden State, and clearly they're a ball movement team, whereas Houston's an isolation team, but the ball was much more alive. The shots came, it seemed like, much easier, and that's going to be something that I don't know if that's going to change throughout the series, Marcus.
I don't think it is going to change either. I think that for one game they can make shots, but this is why the Warriors are so good, and this is why we talked about the other day, the five All-Stars, is that you double with KD, then you're going to leave Klay open. You're going to leave Steph open. Steph didn't play very good last night. They did a good job stopping him. I think that you've got to get under Draymond Green's skin, and you got to let him be the guy that takes a bunch of shots, because he can make them, but he's the fourth best shooter on that team.
Yes.
The other three shooters
are
in the top 10 of the history of the game.
I take Swaggy P shooting the ball over Draymond. Out of the starters, though, yes. He's the fourth best.
Out of the guys that are going to be out there most of the time.
That's right. That's correct.
Yeah. Right. I don't think that the Celtics are going to fare any better, or the Cavs are going to fare any better in the next round.
I think those are still the two best teams in the NBA right now.
Right.
I mean, I still like the Rockets. I thought Golden State was really impressive, especially in the second half. They came out of halftime, and that's their third quarter. I think it was plus 64 before last night in the third quarter of this postseason. That's really, they come out of halftime, they distance themselves, they elevate their play, where a lot of teams are still kind of, seems like they're still kind of in the locker room at halftime. That's when Golden State kind of will jump on you and make their run. But, I mean, it was impressive. Here's one thing, though, and I kind of felt like we were getting there with Matt. Maybe we can talk about it more tomorrow. But I don't like to, and I kind of hear it with Charles Barkley. I've kind of felt like I heard it some with the Morning Animals. It's kind of like, and I agree. I mean, Golden State is by far, with Kevin Durant, the most talented team. But you can't just continue to whine and complain about it and throw your hands up and say, well, what should we do? It kind of reminds me a little bit of, I've heard since living here, the mentality on this side of the state as relates to high school football. And it's like, well, I mean, you know, Jinx and Union, Owosso, they got more kids.
Owosso just entered that discussion last year.
Well, that's why I threw Owosso in there. I'm just saying, though, right? I mean, that's what I always hear.
Yeah.
I always hear that, well, I mean, we can't compete with those guys. And it's like, I mean, at some point, you're just going to have to figure it out. It is what it is. Kevin Durant's not leaving. That nucleus is probably staying. So there's no reason to continue to complain about it. You're just going to have to find a way to deal with them. You're going to have to find a way to put together a team and put together a style of play that you can compete and try to beat them. Is that a tough task? No doubt.
There's no question.
But you can't just continuing to complain. And
here's what's interesting for me about the Rockets is that they've done a nice job of developing some or acquiring some two-way players. Like they did in the offseason, they got P.J. Tucker and they got Luke Mbamute. Right? Those guys are pretty good.
Sure.
But I think that
Mbamute was not shooting the ball well last night. Ooh.
But they had to sacrifice putting offense out there for defense. Like, I think Ryan Anderson is a really good three-point shooter, but he's terrible defensively. So it's
the one he took last night wasn't.
No, he shot the back one. The same kind of problem the Thunder has is trying to develop guys that can play some defense and guys that can go out there and fill it up, which is what the Warriors have all over the floor. I mean, it's hard to find two-way players that can really shoot. I mean, if James Harden is going to give the ball up like he should have, I think, sometimes last night, he's going to have to find guys that he can trust to fill it up on the perimeter. You know who's the second best at that in the league, I think? Cleveland. It's not necessarily – they're not weighted towards defense, but they're weighted towards offense. J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, those guys can pop out, and they can hit some three-point shots to beat you, where I think the Rockets, again, like they just don't have – they don't have – as good as they were on offense the regular season, they don't have enough offense to beat this Golden State team.
Does anybody have enough offense, though, to beat this Golden State team?
No.
I mean, you say they don't have enough offense. Missile War, are they the number two offensive team in the NBA this year?
Yeah. I think they're like by a tenth of a possession behind Golden State.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have enough offense. I mean, I don't know if anybody has enough offense. I guess what I'm saying. I mean, because the firepower Golden State presents is just – it's pretty ridiculous.
Right. I mean, we've said all year, if healthy, they're going to win.
Yeah.
This shows, too, another thing that it shows for Golden State is that the regular season and the playoffs, they're completely different in the NBA. The regular season, guys are doing this, that. They know it's 82 games. They live the grind. And in the playoffs, and then you see this Golden State team, how hyper-focused they are, how they're defending. They defended their ass off last night. They forced Houston late in the shot clock.
A lot.
So don't ever let anybody come on here and tell me that the regular season – like I know Craig talks about this a lot, spouting regular season statistics. This is a different Warriors team. It's a different LeBron that we're seeing in the postseason. It's just different. This is a seven-game series where all of the what you play for is on the line. In the regular season, no matter how big a game seems, no matter how important it seems, whether it's on Christmas Day or it's revenge or all that kind of stuff, you're not going to get the same kind of effort that you get when you see a team back-to-back-to-back-to-back in a series.
I was really impressed because Houston came out with some energy. Like, I thought the crowd showed up. They get off to a good early run. And, you know, Draymond Green within, 70 seconds of the game starting. I wouldn't have minded to see maybe a Clint Capella bring a nice forearm shiver right into his back after he did that. But whatever. I mean, Draymond, he was out of control. I give him credit for being able to gather himself because that first quarter, I thought he was out of control. I thought it was a matter of time before he was going to get himself removed from the game. But overall, just Golden State, they took a quality puncher's uppercut early on in that game. They ate it, and they kept coming back. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that was impressive because Houston, they were dialed in. They were ready to play, and they did come out of the block smoking. And Golden State, much like you would expect from a team of their caliber, they took those shots. And then they just kept coming back. So I thought that was definitely pretty impressive from them. And once the second half started, they just that third quarter, man, they come out of whether it's adjustments Steve Kerr makes, their ability just to continue to do what they do right out of the chute. I don't know, but those third quarter numbers are pretty interesting. I think they're a plus 71 now, third quarter scoring here in this postseason.
Yep, and then the. The number last night was plus 7 for the Rockets when KD and Steph were off the floor together. Why would you put those two guys on the bench at the same time anyway? You don't have to.
Nope. Houston does a really nice job.
Screwed the game up last night when he took Kevin Durant out when they put Nene in.
Why didn't Nene doesn't need to play in this.
D'Antoni screwed it up worse by putting Nene in the game even at all.
I didn't know why. He can't play in this series, right, Missile?
Nah, I don't think so. He's kind of lost his touch offensively.
Yeah.
Even defensively, well, Capella is a way better defender.
He gets down the floor, and he's going to give up 1 point for possession. It's nothing what he does offensively. It's that he can't guard the Warriors. The lineup of death. He got switched onto Steph Curry twice last night, and it didn't hurt him. He was on Durant a couple of times, and KD was just crushing him.
Yeah, whereas Capella can actually guard that. You know, he had that block on Curry.
That was a really nice play.
I mean, they pretty much need Capella or Tucker at the center. And they probably need to be playing Tucker at the center when Durant's on the bench.
How about that time when Capella got switched off on KD and he had him at the top of the key? I thought it was great defense. I mean, you could really see the length of Capella, kept him in front of him. He pulls up, he gets his hand right in his face, and Kevin Durant just buries that mid-range jumper. What do you do? What do you do?
Nothing.
He's good. I mean, Durant made a bunch of tough shots. Even P.J. Tucker played really good defense on him, I thought. Durant's just really tall and knocked him down.
That's exactly – I mean, Rockets were in position quite a bit. I mean, but kind of like Steve Kerr said after the game, I mean, most shots are good shots for Kevin Durant. I mean, he has size and the ability to get good looks that not many people that play the game can. It was an impressive opening game, which most expected from the Golden State Warriors. 119-106 victory last night in game number one. Game two is imperative, Marcus. Imperative for the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, they have to have it.
If they drop both at home, this thing may not make it five. Right. I will say that. The game two, you agree with that, Missile? I mean, game two is of the utmost importance, right?
They need to win, but as far as it's over if they don't, nah, man. There's been Rocket teams that have come back from 2-0 down losing on their home court. But it'll be tough if they don't win.
Broken last night.
If they don't win, it's going to be tough.
I'm gonna give a standing O, man.
He's with his team.
Missile, I've never seen this side of you, but, man, I like it, dude. You're typically the first guy to bail on your squad. I mean, you're a very pessimistic guy, and you rarely ever give your teams props. And for you to watch that game last night, knowing basketball the way that you do, and even knowing if they drop this next game, number two, for you to tell me and say out loud that you still have hope, I like that, man. There is a true fan deep down there somewhere. That dark heart of yours, somewhere deep past all those things that the Ultimate has created over these years, there's still a true fan inside there. I love it, Missile.
Well, I appreciate it. But look, I mean, Golden State and Houston were just about even teams. Houston will make some adjustment, and they'll be able to compete with the Warriors. It's going to happen.
Yeah, well,
I know the Warriors look lights out, but it's not over. I mean, there are plenty of teams that have come back from a 1-0 deficit.
Hey, I like where your head's at. I like hearing that more than I like hearing what Charles Barkley said, but if I had to agree with one or the other, I'd likely probably agree with Charles Barkley. We're here today at Premium Hip and CBD Company, 9605 North May Avenue. Great things going on here at Premium Hip and CBD Company. Mark and I, by the way, are on the CBD today. We actually have some of this
relaxed. Yeah, that's
oil.
Excellent.
You know, I came in, my knees were kind of aching a little bit. We did some upper body, my chest a little bit sore. I'm feeling great. Got it all lubed up, relieves pain, reduces inflammation, reduces anxiety, helps support sleep, promotes healthy heart, reduces nausea. It's all here. Premium Hemp and CBD Company here off of May Avenue. We get back, we'll talk with a man who will be on the call tonight for game two of the Eastern Conference Finals from ESPN, Mr. Adam and me. Today afternoon, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, and he joins us now as he's getting ready for game two tonight in Boston. What's up, brother?
What is going on? I just finished a clam chowder, New England clam chowder. We went with the tuna burger today over at one of my favorite spots, kind of a chain in Boston, but Legal Seafood, one of the absolute best places you can go to on the Eastern Seaboard, and I'm feeling good. I got my lunch in. I'm good.
New England clam chowder. Now, is that the red or the white?
No, I go with the white. You got to go with the white. You got to go with the cream-based clam chowder, I think. The red one's the broth. It's good. I like it, but I think the real clam chowder, you got to go with the New England. It's the white.
Neither one of you, Ace Ventura, is that the red or the white? Oh, I can never remember that. No, not ringing any bells. It's the password.
It's been a long time.
Not hit me right now. It's been a little while.
Ace Ventura. Okay, well, hey, by the way, you're obviously a national star.
How do they have a burger made out of tuna?
What's it? Tell them, Adam.
Well, no, they take tuna, and they turn it into a patty, and they cook it up. They add a little bit of crumbs.
It's a sandwich.
Secure it.
It ain't a burger.
It's a sandwich. Whatever.
Tuna sandwich.
They put it on like a burger. It's not like a burger on burger buns, basically, like nice toast. They got a little lettuce and tomato, a little bit of this spicy mayonnaise. It's really, really good. So tried to keep it a little leaner. I was thinking about going to fish and chips. Went a little leaner with the tuna burger.
I like the tuna burger. Now, listen, if he would have said I had a tuna sandwich, mm-hmm. you would have had no idea what he had.
It could be a tuna salad sandwich. I understand.
Yeah, it's almost like a tuna steak, you know? It's almost like a tuna steak, but they put it into, like, they make it into a patty, like a burger. So
more for you, less for me. So I'm happy with that.
Adam is obviously a national star on ESPN and all the different things he does. But, man, you have really, the last 7 to 10 days or so have been huge for you in Oklahoma. I want to brag on you a little bit. But Bill Haston, very good friend of the station and friend of ours, he had an article about you talking about your great year you've had in the Tulsa world. Then Eric Horn over the weekend had a great piece on you talking about, you know, all the things from your favorite call, your road to the top, origins of your name. So, man, the state of Oklahoma, as they should, showing my boy a lot of love. Makes me feel good.
Well, I'm lucky, man. We got good. You got great people in the state. You got awesome writers. You got awesome media people. You got wonderful, passionate people that care about their sports. And I'm not just saying that. Every time I've gone to Oklahoma for whatever, whether it's going for the Women's World Series, like I'll be there in a couple of weeks for, whether it's doing Thunder games, going down for an Oklahoma game, whatever it's been, everybody's treated me so well, and it's been awesome being able to work with you the last year, just being able to get a little bit more acclimated with the fine folks that you guys work with every single day. So it's awesome. I appreciate it. I really do.
No one's given the Celtics a whole lot of credit throughout the playoffs, except like after the game, everybody talks about the Celtics players, about how Brad Stevens is a wizard and all this stuff, but they just continue to win. I would think tonight they're barely a favorite, like a 1-point favorite. The script writers have LeBron winning this game in the Cavs going on to the finals, but I'm not so sure that the Celtics are just better than everybody thinks.
Listen, here's the thing. Everybody was talking about Boston, especially during the Philly series, like they were like a bunch of slack-jawed yokels who never played basketball before. And it's like, guys, Al Horford is a 5-time All-Star, and he'd probably have a couple of more of those if not for some injuries in Atlanta. Like, this guy's one of the better centers in the NBA. I'm not saying he's Anthony Davis. I'm not saying he's a cornerstone piece to a franchise, but he's one of the best centers in the NBA, as versatile as it comes. One of the best passers for his size at his position. Excellent 3-point shooter. He's been on fire the whole playoffs, but we've come to expect that from him. These young guys, Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, have stepped up in a huge way. But these are already guys, and I talked to Brad Stevens about this. These are guys that came in, coached up well in their college, you know, whether it was a short amount of time or not. They came from good programs with good coaches, and they were ready to play at the NBA level. They just needed the opportunity. A guy like Terry Rozier just needed the opportunity to do some things at this level. Now, would they be better if Kyrie Irving was healthy? Yeah, of course. He's too talented of a guy. He's a perennial All-Star. He's an NBA champion. He's going to be, you know, he's got potential Hall of Fame in his future if he keeps on this upward trajectory. Would they be better with Gordon Hayward? I would think so. But they were pretty good without Hayward the whole year. They didn't have him for more than 6 minutes in the first game. So they're a good team. They've been a good team all year. And even without Kyrie Irving, you're giving opportunities to guys that were ready to at least take a step towards those opportunities, Brown and Tatum specifically, and I would say Rozier as well, who was behind Kyrie Irving. So this isn't a team made up of guys that weren't ready, and this has also been one of the best defensive units in the NBA this year. And with the combination of those things and Brad Stevens being as smart of a coach as we have in the NBA, this is a really flexible, versatile roster that can do a lot of different things and cause problems in different ways. They're a really good basketball team, and I think they're still the number two seed in the East. Like, LeBron's the best player, and superstars often win series in the playoffs, but this is one of the best top-to-bottom units I think we have in the NBA.
What's the password? New England clam chowder.
It's a good movie. It's a really good movie.
Job. Nice job. Is that Josh back there handling that?
That's right.
Good work, man.
That's well done. Okay, so let's look at the other side of the coin, the Cleveland side. Now, you called several games in the round one series against the Pacers, so you saw some good, some bad. You called a couple of games in the Toronto series, so you saw quite a bit of good. With all that rest, what I was so surprised about was the demeanor that Cleveland had, the lack of energy, the lack of aggressiveness, especially by LeBron. Did that surprise you? Did you see that same thing when I expected in game one in a hostile territory in the Boston Garden? You know you got to show up with your hair on fire. It was anything but that for Cleveland. I didn't like that at all.
Dusty, you texted me after the game on Sunday, and you said that to me, and I'm like, that was the thing that surprised me the most by far of anything we saw. The lack of legs in Cleveland, no hustle, more than a couple of plays, really it felt like, to get back to the defensive end of the floor. And listen, this is the problem with Cleveland, and it's a big problem with Houston. Notice what happened in last night's game with the Rockets. They made shots early in the game, and look how competitive they were on the defensive end the rest of the way. I mean, that was a competitive 3.5 quarters on the defensive end of the floor. Obviously, it got away from them with Durant, and he went off. But look how aggressive they were and strong they were on the defensive end because they made shots early in a game. Houston has that problem where if they lack offensively early, they get sluggish on defense, and Cleveland has the exact same problem. So they didn't make those 4 or 5 open three-point looks early, and all of a sudden J.R. Smith is disengaged at the defensive end. Korver gets disengaged. And then I'm looking at what you just talked about, guys. LeBron looks so passive again, and he's done that in game one of the Indiana series. He was very passive, and they got down early, and it was pretty much a blowout from there. I do expect a response here in game two. I expect LeBron, who, by the way, to your point, 4 drives to the basket. 4 for LeBron James. The only 4 drives. That's incredible. That was a playoff low for him. I expect that to be amped up here in game two. I expect them to be better defensively, and if they make shots early, I do expect this to be a close game. But let's not forget, LeBron could score 45, and he's averaged 44.5, 43.5 in the game two so far in the playoffs. He could score 45 tonight, and they could still lose. Unless he gets some help, Kevin Love's got to play better if he's going to be matched up with Al Horford. Kyle Korver's got to make these open looks that he had. He had a couple of them early. J.R. Smith was doing a lot of ISO. I was very surprised with the lackluster effort I saw from Cleveland in game one, and I expect much better tonight in game two.
Yeah, the Rockets' goose is cooked, but I don't think the Cavs' goose is cooked just yet. They just lost one game. They lost that bad to the Pacers. And so the shooting performance was atypical, low, and outlier for Cleveland. They're going to hit some shots tonight.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that Boston, man, they're so good as a team, and they're doing everything well, and they've got some good pieces on that roster. That
Marcus Morris is a key, I think.
How about another Marcus? Marcus, you know, just the name of greatness.
Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
He's playing truly, good too. Truly great. You know what? I give him a lot of credit. I give Marcus Morris a lot of credit. And everybody kind of shrugged him off, you know, before the series when he's like, hey, I'm the guy who's guarded LeBron the best outside of Kawhi Leonard. And listen, whether you believe that or not, whether it's true or not, if you don't go in talking like that into a series against LeBron James, you've already lost. You have to have that sense of belief that you can and will hang with LeBron James for a whole game. Now, is it going to happen tonight? Like I said, I don't know. LeBron was relatively passive in game one as well, settling for a lot of jump shots and turning the ball over too much. I don't expect that from him tonight, but you have to go in with that mindset to know that you have that ability. Marcus Morris held LeBron to 2 of 9 from the floor when he was his main defender. That's a great job against LeBron James, but you have to believe that you can do something like that. I agree with you, by the way, Mark. I do think that the Rockets are probably done in 5 at best, because it's the same thing we just talked about. They run too much isolation. They don't have enough to guard on the defensive end against Durant and all the other guys. I think that at best, that's probably a 5-game series. But here, if Cleveland wins tonight, I think that this sets them up for the rest of the series. I think the winner of this game tonight could honestly win the series. I think this is a huge game tonight here in Boston. If Cleveland gets this, they've done their job. You take away home court from a young team, force them to go on the road where they have not been nearly as good in the playoffs. They're averaging 110.5 points a game at home in the playoffs are the Boston Celtics. They're 8-0. On the road, they're 1-4, and they dip down into the 90s offensively. So there is a major difference with young guys going on the road in the playoffs, especially in a conference final, compared to home. So if Cleveland wins tonight, that's a huge, huge step towards getting back to the finals.
Tristan Thompson is married to a Kardashian. That comes with mental and physical instability. I mean, you just have to live with that. Tyronn Lue has to understand it. But I thought it was weird that Tyronn Lue, after the game, or I guess it shoot around yesterday or the practice, said that that Tristan Thompson is the best in the league at defending Al Horford, but yet really didn't employ that that strategy in the first game? Is he saving it for tonight? I mean, what did they not use Tristan Thompson in the first game of the series the way they should have?
Well, I agree with you on that, and that's a question that we had. I thought going into this series that's going to be the most important matchup. It's Horford against Love or Horford against insert player here, because the thing about the second round against Toronto, Kevin Love absolutely torched Jonas Valanciunas, and Valanciunas is a beast down low, but he cannot guard out on the perimeter. Al Horford ain't Jonas Valanciunas. Al Horford guards the perimeter for a center as well as any center in the NBA, and he has contested more shots in the playoffs than any other player. He gets out on the perimeter. He has 18 blocks. He's blocked shots out on the three-point line. He's blocked shots in the paint. He's blocked the mid-range. He had two more the other night in game one. He is a great perimeter defender. So Kevin Love's job just became a lot harder in this round. Kevin Love, in the three games that he's participated against Boston this year, he's 1 of 11 from the floor when Al Horford has guarded him, including 0-for-2 the other day. And by the way, Love didn't do that well against Tatum, Brown, or Smart, or Rozier either. He had a bad game in general. But Al Horford is the X factor. Al Horford really struggled last year in the Eastern Conference Finals because he was matched up against Tristan Thompson. Ty Lue has really loved the small lineup with Kevin Love at the five, and it's an effective lineup, and it was very effective against Toronto. But I thought in this series, it wasn't going to be as effective because of Horford. Now you put Thompson in at the five, move Love back to his natural spot at the four. Now you start to put in some matchups that maybe you're not a fan of if you're Boston. Obviously, Thompson has to defend guards if he gets into a switch when he's playing the five. But last year, he did a pretty good job of that. He's not a bad defender. He's not as good as Horford, but he's a good defender against guards. So I think Thompson's going to have to be a bigger factor. He's the only offensive rebounding factor that Cleveland had in game one, and frankly, the only really good offensive rebounder they have. So he's got to be a big factor tonight, and I think he will be.
Thanks for educating me on the difference in a tuna sandwich and a tuna burger.
There you go.
You put the spices in there, a little breadcrumb. It's beautiful.
He's like a professor when it makes comes sense. To food. That Professor Amin, he'll be on the call tonight. Game two of the Eastern Conference Finals in Boston. Enjoy the garden tonight. We'll talk again soon, my man.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
See you, Adam.
There you go. Great stuff by Adam Amin. We're here at Premium Hemp and CBD Company here at 9650 North May Avenue. We'll tell you all about this great stuff here throughout the rest of the day. When we get back, we'll take a look at last night's Western Conference Finals right here on the Monsters of the Midday. Big night last night for the Vegas Golden Knights as they beat Winnipeg 3-1, tie the series up at one apiece. I would love to see Alexander Ovechkin win a Stanley Cup. I think he's earned that. His illustrious career should be complete with Lord Stanley's Cup. But, Marcus, how can you not be going for the Golden Knights right now?
The Golden Knights are that's an awesome story.
I'm all in.
How much hockey have you watched?
Yeah, I mean, some. I try to get a little bit in each night.
Watched very little hockey.
Well,
but it's there.
Just here. I mean, I'm just in the playoffs as we get closer. Throughout the course of the season, very little hockey. Playoff hockey, though, I know we said, you know, in basketball, there's a big difference between the regular season and playoffs. And it's the same way in the NFL. Playoff hockey, it's a whole different level. Whole different level.
Especially the overtime.
It gets fun, man. They get no tea. It's game seven overtime hockey. It's definitely very tough to beat. Tough to beat. We're going to talk with Doug Gottlieb at 1:25 next hour. It's always good to chat with Doug, get his thoughts on these NBA playoffs. He was also very outspoken. I did a little segment, Mark, on Wendell Carter, the Duke basketball player coming on the draft. His mom spoke up about, was relating the NCAA to slavery and the prison system. I had some very pointed words.
Yikes.
At her. I did not like her comments whatsoever. I can't stand it when I hear people in any way try to relate it to. I think it's ridiculous. And I know Doug was very outspoken on that topic too, so I think we'll broach both of those with Doug when we talk to him later on. Let me tell you about where we're at today. We're at Premium Hemp and CBD Company here at 9650 North May Avenue. And Mark and I, we're on the CBD. We've got the oil in the body, and I can tell you.
You feel good?
Man.
I feel good.
I feel pretty good.
Yeah, I feel relaxed.
I'd like to go play some golf. I feel like They said that the biggest thing is it reduces inflammation. I know it's raining outside.
It's actually lightning. I don't think CBD will do anything to save you from electrocution.
I'm just saying, though, you know, now that I'm going to have a bottle to myself, I think this will be something that I'm dropping before I go out and play a round of golf. Keep all the inflammation out. It relieves
pain.
The
more loose and limber you are, the much better your golf score is going to be.
Reduces inflammation, reduces anxiety. It helps support sleep, promotes healthy heart, reduces nausea. Mark, if this does anything for stool movements, you may want to think about getting this for Snarls Barkley. This could be the great equalizer right here. By the way, Premium Hemp and CBD Company, 9650 North May Avenue. What do you think? I'm going to drop a couple of put a droplet in Snarls' mouth.
I like it. I like it very much. Hey, I've got a little bit of an update for you. I know that the NCAA golf is – I don't know for whatever reason I'm geeking out on the NCAA golf.
You're all in.
I apologize.
No, please.
I went a little bit yesterday morning, but the Big 12 is dominating. The Big 12 is doing incredibly well. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are on top of their regional. There's a regional going on in Stockton, California, where Iowa State, they're not even projected to be a team that is advanced out of the regional. They're not even ranked. And they're in third place. Kansas is leading that regional. Alabama second. Iowa State third. TCU fourth.
Wow.
So eight teams out of the Big 12 scheduled to go to Carson Creek to compete next week, where there will be people quit the game on that course.
We need to.
You know, there was a guy that quit the last time. One of the last times they had it at Carson Creek.
No.
A collegiate player. He walked off the
course. Set him out?
Walked off the course.
I've had enough of this place.
It's too tough.
I would like to get out there and see some of that action.
I'm going.
Oh.
But feel free to go.
I never had an invite.
I'm covering that.
What?
I have a credential.
Jeez. You think you know somebody, Missile? You work with a guy for, 3.5 years now?
I invited you to go to the regional on Monday.
I know you did. I couldn't make it at 8 in the morning on Monday. I had things going on that day, but you never asked me to go to the national championships.
I'm sure we can get you in at Carson Creek. I'm sure we can get you a credential.
You see what's happened here, Missile? Now, I don't want you
to broadcast from up there.
I don't want, like, all of a sudden now some sympathy invite. That's what this is, a sympathy invite. Right, Missile? Isn't this what's going on here? Mark clearly wanted to go by himself. He happened to mistakenly start talking about it with me present. And then, because you feel bad, I get the sympathy invite. Hell no, I'm not going with you.
Oh,
Missile?
No.
Hey, Missile, would you want to go to Carson Creek with me and watch the NCAA championships in golf?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Cool, man. We'll make some plans for that. We're not going to hang out with anybody else from the station that might or might not be there, okay?
All right.
It's just you and me.
Sounds like a plan.
It's just you and me in Stillwater at Carson's Creek. Okay, Doug Gottlieb next hour. Hey, Marcus, I want to talk a little bit of football and get back. Can we talk some football? I haven't talked any football
in a couple
days. Not
at all today. We have talked none. What do you want to talk about? How do we save it? And let people think about what it might be.
I'm going to talk about football.
Just football in general?
That's why you have to stick around. More to come on the Monsters of the Midday. 119-106 as the Golden State Warriors take down the Houston Rockets. And they lead that series 1-0. And they have stolen home court away from the best team in the NBA this season, the Houston Rockets. Game 2 coming up tomorrow night. We do have a game 2 tonight in the Eastern Conference Finals, LeBron and the Cavs looking to get this thing tied at 1. I think tonight's a really important game. I don't see tonight's game as imperative as I do for the Rockets. Like, clearly, if the Cavs get down 2-0, that's going to be a really steep hill to climb back up. But I wouldn't completely count them out. If the Rockets, if they lose both their games at home, I don't think it makes it back to Houston. So I've got
Rockets are good enough that they play. If they had
different feelings,
they had a bunch of shots. I think they can win in Oakland.
Sure, they could. I think this game too. I think the game two would be more important for Houston than Cleveland. Though it is an important game for the Cavs tonight.
Well, the series doesn't start till the road team wins.
That's what they say.
And Boston's still the home team tonight.
Adam had some really good stats on the Boston home and away as well. I thought that was interesting, too. We talked about when he's talking about Tristan Thompson and not just about his Kardashian issues, but actually him on the floor. It seems like that might be a better suited against this Boston Celtics team.
It's pretty funny that the guy that brought it up is Tyronn Lue after the game.
Great coaching.
You can't wait to make adjustments in the playoffs.
Right.
You have to first guess it. You can't wait. Now, he has the he's got LeBron, and if he can get one of two, then I guess he could have waited. But I don't know what he was trying to look at. Nobody, you know, Kevin Love clearly going to have to score and rebound if he's going to be out there because he's a defensive liability. I don't care what position he's covering.
Yeah. No, that's right. He's definitely a defensive liability, no question.
The Celtics are going to move the ball, too, to make you pay. If you have some deficiencies on defense, the Celtics are going to find you.
Yep. I agree with that. They do a very good job.
And they don't have guys that are – they're not putting guys out there other than Marcus Smart that are kind of one-trick ponies. Like, you think about it. Jaylen Brown can go to the basket. He can shoot a three. You've got Rozier.
Jason
can go to
Tatum
the basket.
Can definitely.
Shoot a three. Tatum can do it all. They don't just spot up and shoot their guys.
Al Horford
get to the rim.
Is also a guy.
He's a great
same
passer.
Thing.
He's a five-tool player.
Absolutely. Now, they've got several guys that – are good basketball players. You know, listen to Klay Thompson on the TNT set last night. He kind of said that, like, you know, we all pride ourselves on being able to dribble, being able to shoot, being able to pass, and being able to defend.
Right.
And that's exactly what they do. All right. I want some football. Can I get some football in our life?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give a little football in our life. We will have Doug Gottlieb, Fox Sports 1. We'll talk some more NBA and basketball next segment with him. But I've got three different stories. Completely different realms, but I enjoyed them all, so I want to at least have the discussion. Do you remember back in March when I lost my mind a little bit, Mark, when we found out that the NFL owners had voted and the competition committee had agreed that they were going to put a new 15-yard penalty and threaten ejections for using the helmet in contact? You remember that?
Yes, I remember that. I thought it was more of a window dressing and kind of a threat than it was going to be something that happened in action.
Well, it was very vague, right? It was very vague, and we needed some clarification. Well, here, back a little bit, May 1st, they had a big summit on this. And the NFL came in. The players brought an eight-person team, and the owners came in. A lot of different people, head coaches, everybody came in to try to get on the same page of exactly – you know, kind of what this rule is. And, you know, like one of my main concerns as a defensive tackle was like, I mean, I use my head like, I don't know, 80% of the time,
yep.
90% of the time.
Hard to avoid that.
It's next to impossible to avoid it. You know, Matt Burke, a guy who I played against, longtime center in the NFL for the Minnesota Vikings, he now is like a spokesperson for the players. He was there on behalf of the players, and he talked about that. I mean, he brought up the point that you can't take this out. It's trench warfare is kind of quote-unquote what they said, and you can't take that out. So they've kind of clarified what exactly this rule is going to look like, how it's going to be administered. It makes sense. I mean, there's going to be a gray area, and there's going to be some times that we as football fans are going to be, let's just face it, we're going to be mad. We're going to say, that's just football. What's he supposed to do? But after reading this, again, my fear is the more and more rules, just the less and less it looks like football. But after they are at this summit and after they had some clarification, it's much better. It sounds much better than what we initially had heard. This is how the rule is stated, that the owners approved, and this is how it is stated. It is a foul if a player lowers his head to, and they put the emphasis on to, initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent. So it also says, you know, you can make contact with the helmet, but so long as like your shoulder hits first or something, you know, something else hits first, so long as you aren't using your helmet to initiate the contact, that is what they are looking for, and that is what they are trying to outlaw. Also, they talk in here, I want to see exactly who said, I think it was Matt Burke again, but they talked, it says, yeah, this is one of the clarifications. If you have time and space to think it through and you still have someone going in with their head lowered in a linear position, that is what they are trying to discourage. That is what they are trying to outlaw. That is what is supposed to be on the official's docket for what they're looking for to penalize as well, potentially eject. Now, the rule also, they can go to video replay to make sure they are only ejecting players that are absolutely egregious and absolutely had an opportunity to prevent that contact from happening. They say in this instance, which I think we agreed at the time, the Danny Trevathan hit on Devontae Adams of the Green Bay Packers. Remember that one? They had him held up
right
well after the play. He comes in helmet to helmet. He gets concussed. He's out. That will be an ejectable, an egregious offense. That will be an ejection, which I thought it should have been at the time anyway. So, again, a little bit of clarity. There's still some gray area within this rule. But, like, for instance, like a running back who lowers – if a running back lowers their head, okay, and uses their head to, say, drive through a defensive back's chest or a defensive back's helmet, they will be flagged for that.
I have to see that to believe it.
Now, if they, this is what's interesting. If they go in with their shoulder, okay, if they go in with their shoulder first and use their helmet to basically brace just as part of their body, well, that will not be considered a foul. So, again, there is still some gray area. What I really like, though, is that they're complete. They're not even looking whatsoever at the offensive or defensive line because you can't, Mark. Like, if they ever get to a point, if they ever got to a point where they were going to penalize an offensive or a defensive lineman for using their helmet to initiate contact, you would have to remove helmets. You'd have to remove helmets.
Well, there's not as much speed built up in those collisions. I know that there's a lot of physicality built up in those collisions, and you would know better than anyone. But I think that you're going to leave this up to the referees, and I think you have to have it in there based on what litigation is coming in the future. You can at least pop in a tape and go, we made this rule, and here's several instances of us calling it to hold the players' feet to the fire. And we think they can play that in a courtroom, and it's going to help them mitigate lawsuit in the future.
This is from Troy Vincent, NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations. He says, quote, there are certain things that are incidental contact and just part of the sport. There are certain things that you just have to live with and be okay with. And then there is the part of our role and responsibility. What do we want to coach out? And then the players have to adjust to. Some of the things are much more long term. So, again, this will be kind of a work in progress. I don't know. I'm a little bit relieved because, again, initially what they had said, it was very vague. There was nothing built in around it, so you didn't know exactly what it was. But it sounds to me like it's not going to be a whole lot different from where it was based off of what they're saying because, I mean, there was already, you know, spearing or using the crown of your helmet. That was already a flaggable offense. So I'm hoping they're just going to try to continue to emphasize that point as opposed to any time there is, as they said initially, any time there is helmet, you know, you use your helmet to make contact, that's going to be a flag. That's not necessarily the case. At least that's what it sounds like. But, again, but the other thing I don't like about this, you're putting a lot on the referees, man. Right?
It's okay. It's all right. I mean, when it's blatant, that needs to be called.
And egregious.
Yeah.
And that's right.
That's all I want.
But it already is, right? That
should be.
So that's what I'm
I get
you're kind of opening Pandora's box a little bit.
I don't think so. I get it. I get it completely. I get it because I understand the biggest threat to the NFL is itself. There's nothing else. People aren't going to stop watching the NFL. What the biggest threat is that if all these former players decide at one time, we're going to go get money from the NFL and it bankrupts the league. I mean, and we don't know. Today's political climate is certainly trending towards where we're looking back going, how in the world could we have done this? You know what I'm saying? Today we think this is acceptable, but this is becoming a lot more, you know, health-conscious society. So I think the NFL is doing this. Not necessarily I think it's real practice, but I think they're doing it in order to say, hey, look, we're trying to be proactive in these things.
Listen, there's more education out there. I don't know if we're ever going to get to a point and say, why are we doing this? I mean, how long's boxing been going on?
Well, a long time. Century and 30 years.
What happens in boxing?
Boxing's probably been going on for longer than that.
What happens in boxing?
Since the Marquis de Queensberry. What?
What happens in boxing?
Boxing, people get punched in the head.
In the head?
Yes,
wow.
Repeatedly.
Okay, what about this new sport that's just ratchet up? What's it called? The MMA?
MMA?
MMA. Mixed martial arts.
People get kicked in the head there.
They do. Is it slowing down?
No. But
okay, so just wait.
Guys take less punishment.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Have we How do we know? Do we know in 20 years, 25 years from now, we're not going to look at some of their brains and they have CTE? Have you ever heard of a punch-drunk boxer? You telling me there haven't been a bunch of boxers that have had long careers that are walking around like zombies? That's not probably CTE. All I'm saying is we're learning more information about football. I do feel – I don't know what that was.
I don't either.
I do feel –
it's a misfire.
I do feel to a degree there is a massive overreaction. And there is a huge fear on things that I think people, again, I think information is good. And I think for, especially as, you know, as it relates to young kids and parents, the more information they can have and collect, they can make more informed decisions. I think all that's great. But I do think that there is an overreaction to what we've seen from the CTE and players that played college football and that played double-digit years in the National Football League. Like, it's almost like when you hear people talk about it, that if I allow my kid to go play football through high school, well, he's going to get CTE. And I don't know what the numbers are based off of people whose careers end at that point and people who play 15 more years and the collisions get so much more pronounced. Everything is ratcheted up because you're dealing with better, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like people see a Jim McMahon and they look at him at 50 and he can't find his way home and they say, man, I can't let my kid play this sport because if I do, this could potentially happen to him. And I just think that we look at some of the most pronounced worst case scenarios and we instantly relate that to our children. So I think that there is a
those numbers are very real
overreaction.
Those numbers are very real in terms of participation. There are very few states that where participation has not dropped off significantly.
I know.
Oklahoma's
huge.
One that
it's
it hasn't.
I don't know.
I mean, it's dropped off. I'm talking about significantly. Growth
in Illinois,
it's non-existent.
In Illinois, less than a month ago, they tried to pass a law, okay? They tried to pass a law that you couldn't play padded football under the age of 12.
It got
shot down, but I'm just saying
that. I can send you a report out of the Wall Street Journal
attack.
That talks about
there's
that.
An
That's
attack
why the
on
NFL's
football.
Doing this.
There's
yeah.
an attack on football
it's
in
real.
This country.
Like for Jim, you know, Jim comes on and says he's worried about the sissification of the sport, but he's ignoring what's going on.
There's an attack on football. And again, what I'm saying is education
there are fewer
is good.
And fewer people. I mean, the number of people playing the sport at a young age is incredibly less
it
than
is.
It used to be.
No, there's no question about that. But again, that's why. Like, I think education is good, but I also think that just kind of overreacting and naturally overreacting to what we see from, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference. There's a difference between, I mean, how long did you play football?
I played football from seventh grade through high school.
Okay, so.
But that's when the first time I could. That's the only time I could. I couldn't play before that.
Couldn't play before seventh grade?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they didn't allow it in?
No.
Really?
Well, I had intramurals. As a sixth grader.
And I'm not saying.
That's the first you could play.
And I'm not saying the more we find that waiting until middle school isn't a good thing. I'm just saying that I feel like it's to a degree, it's wrong to look at just, you know, some of these people that, again, some of these people in the National Football League that played for an extremely long time and think that if I allow my kid to play middle school or high school football, that's going to happen to him too. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many? I said this to my wife one day, and I don't know what the number is, but how many kids got into, you know, terrible bicycle accidents across the country last year?
Don't know.
I bet it's a significant number. Kids still ride bicycles. I mean, there's car accidents every single day that you know that are tragedies. We still get in cars. So I don't think that it's ever going to fully go away, but I definitely
there's a lot of concussions in soccer. There's a lot of head injuries.
A ton, but for whatever reason, right now with the lawsuits, with just the CTE, and again with when you've got Junior Seau killing himself, when you've got you know these different things that are very pronounced, and all of a sudden it scares people, and they just want to distance themselves. And I definitely feel that is going on. And I don't know. To me, I think education is good, and I think you need to be informed and all that, but I do think that there is a overreaction to some of this information we're getting, especially as it relates to younger kids. You?
I get it. I wouldn't – if my son played football, I'd let him play. If he wanted to play and continue to play, I wouldn't be fearful of that.
My kids don't play football yet. I got a 6 and 8 year old.
If they wanted to, you'd let them.
Absolutely.
Right.
No, without question, I would let them. They haven't wanted to at this point. I'm not going to ever force anything upon them. Especially, I would never force a kid to play padded football if he didn't want to.
Of course not.
I mean, I hope parents don't do that because
they shouldn't.
The last thing you should do if a kid isn't confident and ready to play football in that kind of environment, that physicality, that's the last thing you want. That's when injuries can and possibly will happen. I don't know. There's been a lot on this, and it is kind of crazy. I think it's crazy when I look at Norman, Oklahoma, and I look at the infrastructure of soccer in Norman, Oklahoma, and I look at the lack of infrastructure in youth football because it barely even exists. And this is in Norman, Oklahoma, where football is king. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than Oklahoma football. And if you look at the youth level, at the young level, it's barely even existent.
This is a discussion for another day and another hour, but I mean,
this isn't even where I wanted to go with this today. I wanted to talk about Dez Bryant, but it just got
happened. Dez Bryant. We also have the ping pong balls tonight.
Oh, we got Lucky Charm. We got the lottery.
Lottery's tonight.
Okay, when we get
back. That's an important deal, too. You think the Cleveland Cavaliers picking the top three?
If they pick in the top three, the NBA conspiracy theorists are going to be running rampant.
I think there's a lot of reasons for LeBron to want to stay in Cleveland.
I don't know. It's not his best possible scenario to win. You know what? We'll talk to an expert. We'll talk with Doug Gottlieb, Fox Sports 1, when we get back. We're hanging out today at Premium Hemp and CBD Company here at 9650 North May Avenue. Relieves pain, reduces inflammation, reduces anxiety, helps support sleep, promotes healthy heart, and reduces nausea. All these great things Mark and I are experiencing as we speak because we are on the CBD. Come by and check it out for yourself. Again, Premium Hemp and CBD, 9650 North May Avenue. We'll go to Fox Sports 1. We'll talk with Doug Gottlieb next. We go to California. We bring in from Fox Sports 1, Mr. Doug Gottlieb. How you doing, Doug?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Not much, man. Just we hadn't talked to you in a while. You don't like us or what?
I'm right here. Just call me.
Okay.
You call me any day, I will answer the phone. Any day.
Mark got mad
because one time I was on an elevator, and I think the last time I spoke with you guys, I'm always available for you. I'm at your service.
That was a weak attempt at the truth.
Hey, before I get what's
the weak attempt at the truth? No, let's hash this thing out right here.
Oh, boy, here we go.
What are you talking about?
Hey, I want to know how you would defend the Warriors. I said earlier today, I mean, it's not like it's some kind of rocket science, but I would try to make Draymond Green beat me shooting the ball. You can't double KD.
That's what people try and do. And he becomes a very good screener and passer. That's what I would do. But you have to fully commit to it. I mean, the first thing is you just can't have possessions like they had Houston had last night where you get screwed up in matching up with their guys, right? You know, like, Klay Thompson, that big, what was it, dagger three, when it looked like a backcourt violation and, you know, they become keystone cops on defense. Like, you just can't give that up. You got to make sure you get back in training. One of the things that really hurts the Rockets is the way in which they're playing offensively, right? So you got James Harden's best when he's playing downhill, and then you have Clint Capella rolling to the rim, right? So that takes two players away defensive transition-wise. If you don't score, or if you turn the basketball over, your point guard is underneath the basket with his momentum taking you away from the defensive end. Same thing with your center. So now you're playing, you know, at best 5-on-3 in transition, and a lot of times it's worse than that. So I think that's a problem. But yeah, in the half court, you got to make him beat you in the half court. You know, you got to make if Andre Iguodala goes for 30, okay. If Draymond Green goes for 30, okay. Fine. Anybody else wants to come in and try and beat me? I cannot let Clay get any airspace. You know, you got to play. You know, when they played, when Golden State beat the Thunder, you know, one of the things that helped Golden State get back in the series was the Warriors put two players, whoever was guarding the non-shooters, basically at the elbow defensively and played like a two-man zone. I think that's how you have to play this team. And then anytime they take Steph out or Clay out or KD out, now it becomes basically a triangle and two.
Do you think, can Houston get game two? Most people are saying this thing's just going to be a sweep.
I think they can get game two. I think they can get a game. You know, look, Golden State goes through these stretches to where they don't play great basketball. They only turn it over 9 times. They turn it over a lot more than that. And they go through stretches where they don't particularly value the basketball and they're not great. So yeah, I think you can get a game, maybe even 2 games. But one of the issues they're running into is the way Golden State's defending them, basically letting Harden do whatever he wants to do and then faking and staying home, is the other guys are kind of disengaged, you know? They just don't, without getting everybody involved, and you start losing the game, they start to put their heads down a little bit, get their dauber down. So
it was a really bad sign last night for the Rockets, Doug, that they had those extended and shot clock violations in the first half. I mean, that's just like reading a book where you know what's going to happen at the end.
Yeah.
It was so tough.
No question. I've said this before. I don't think Golden State is the best roster ever. I just think it's a perfectly put together. That death lineup is really, really good for how basketball is played. And they just don't have the ability. You know, like, for example, they bring Nene in, right? And Golden State starts attacking Nene. They never once threw Nene in the post. That dude can score down there, but they just don't. They refuse to do it. They continue to play downhill, which is wasting him. So I'm not surprised by it, but I do think Houston can keep it closer and can win a game or two.
That was an odd substitution for me when Nene came into the game, because the Warriors don't waste possessions. They went right at him, like you said, from the very beginning. And then for some reason, Kerr took KD out. He looked pissed. They put him back in about 3 possessions later because Steph couldn't score on Nene. But that was, I don't know, the Warriors are so just so tough, man. It's incredible to watch them play when they're playing that well on defense and offense.
Yep. No, I think they're really good. And then I'm fascinated by tonight. You know, I can't tell whether or not LeBron just could get a step, or whether he just decided, hey, we're down 25. This is not a winnable game. Let me save my energy and put it all into winning game two.
I think that. I mean, we've seen that in the playoffs.
I guess a little bit, but I just from Jump Street, Doug, I was really disappointed in just the overall effort and energy that team possessed. You go to the Boston Garden. Okay, you got to know you better bring it. And they did anything but that in game one. So I expect more out of LeBron, but I expected more out of LeBron in game one, too.
Fair statement.
Yeah, but it's the other guys that are got to play better. I mean, they should make 15% of their threes. I mean, why didn't Tristan Thompson play more on Al Horford? He said after the game he should have.
Well, I absolutely think you should use Tristan Thompson more. You know, what happens is they get into this, hey, LeBron needs space, LeBron needs shooters, and Tristan Thompson turned around that previous series because of his offensive rebounding. You know, his offensive rebounding and his defense. Again, the problem, though, is that when you have Tristan Thompson for Kevin Love, you're much better defensively, you're much better on the boards, but now you have to deal with the fact that'll leave a shot blocker in the lane. That allows the Celtics to play a little bit bigger. And they have more agile five men than they just have a bet. They're a better coach, but they also have, they got more fours and fives that they can throw at LeBron while also guarding Tristan Thompson. So I agree with you. I think that's the plan. That's probably what they'll do. And they'll play again, even more through LeBron because they have no other shot creators. But I also think that this Boston team's built a little bit better. And people struggle to understand that as much as Cleveland missed shots, if you keep them out of transition, you don't give them second shots, those guys can't create shots on their own. You know, they can screen for each other, but you just switch it because, with the exception of Kevin Love, nobody can post up and none of those guys can beat you off the dribble. You don't figure any of them.
Talk with Doug Gottlieb, Fox Sports 1. Douglas, we got the lottery tonight. What are your expectations? What would pique the number one interest of all the NBA conspiracy theorists? If this happened, everybody's antennas are going to be up.
Well, yeah, like if the Brooklyn pick, which is the Cavs pick, they got number one, you're like, what? Right? So that would be interesting. I think the other interesting part is Luka Doncic, who's the best European player in this draft, is his national team coach was just hired as the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. If they get the number one overall pick, would they go with Doncic? Is that a done deal? Would anybody trade out of that? Would you trade out of that pick? So I think that's going to be very, very interesting. I do think it's a fairly top-heavy draft. And, of course, locally, You know, there's a lot of talk that Trae Young's going to go to Orlando. I'm telling you, the people, NBA people I talk to, is like they feel like he's going to be drafted too high, and it could be a tough little putt for him, because he's going to, in order to get the most out of him, you have to give him the ball, but that won't be well received by a lot of vets. And you know, look, you can just—it's hard for little guys in the NBA. They get attacked on switches. They get attacked on. In the post, and then, you know, if you're a high-volume shooter, you better be a high-volume maker. Otherwise, nobody will give you the ball, and you'll have issues. So I think Trae is a lot like Baker Mayfield, one of those guys that everybody wants. No one wants to miss on the next Russell Wilson. No one wants to miss on the next Steph Curry, but that often causes guys to get overdrafted.
Any free agent news that you've heard? Any dealings? Sixers going to make a deal?
I still think it's too early. I mean, like, look, we still don't know what Paul George is going to do. I mean, I think the knee surgery thing caught some people a little bit off guard. It wouldn't surprise me at all if there's some talk of him to Phoenix. To Philly, but there's still a lot of talk of him coming out to L.A. I think you got to look around. If you want to know the teams that are most likely to make a deal, you got to look in the middle, right? Don't look at the top. Don't look at the bottom. Look at places like Charlotte, right? Because you can't be in basketball purgatory. You can't be in a place to where you're just okay. That's not, and you're going to have a new coach there. And so, do you end up trading? You know, your all-time leading scorer. Look at Detroit; they already made a move. You know, you look at the Nuggets and the Clippers, maybe the Timberwolves. I mean, I think those are the teams that are going to make the biggest moves. And then, what happens with Kawhi Leonard? Does he come back? Does he sign that huge contract extension in the offseason? But I still think it's early yet. Coaching changes have to be made before they start figuring out, all right, now we got to figure out free agency as well as the draft.
What if you're Danny Ainge and you've got all these assets, you got all these players, right? But you've also got, I mean, Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward are coming back next year. I mean, Terry Rozier is just killing it. Do you potentially deal him? Like, I'm just wondering if they can't work it out in San Antonio. If you're Danny Ainge, you've got more than enough to go get Kawhi Leonard likely and pair him with Kyrie Irving. That sounds like a pretty good 1-2 punch.
And Gordon Hayward, those is your big three?
Potentially, unless you'd have to lose Gordon Hayward to bring him in. I would say here before too long.
You don't have to lose Gordon Hayward. You can have. Yeah, I think you can have all three.
You would use that draft pick and then Terry Rozier.
I would prefer to stick with what they got. I would, you know, Rozier's really a bench player.
Don't mix it up. Just keep it as is.
Well, I mean, you got to see what it's like when you have Hayward. You haven't even had Hayward for more than 2 minutes.
Right.
So, I still think, like, look, their plan pretty obviously was they want those versatile bigs, versatile wings, guys that can shoot, switch, and then you have, you know, a couple of guys that can beat you off the bounce. I think you worry about this. You don't want to become like what the Thunder became. You know, you have all these young assets. You know, I think you're in pretty good shape. Like, what does the rest of the East look like? They're better than the Sixers. Sixers are going to have to keep reforming themselves. You know, you got the depth of having all these good young pieces. Now, at some point, guys are going to price themselves out of Boston, and that's when you can do some sign and trades and move some stuff around. But until I haven't even seen Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving on the court for more than 2 minutes, I would say people should take a breath. I don't think you go after Kawhi right now. That's just me personally, because you have Jason Tatum, who's 20 years old, under club control for 4 more years. You got Jaylen Brown, who's, you know, like 21 years old. He's under club control for 3 more years. You know, so I think you stick with what you got, and you try and figure it out from there.
Austin Reeves, can you tell me about this Wichita State transfer? A couple of people asked me on Twitter.
Can really, really shoot. Not a good defender at the Big 12 level, but can absolutely shoot and stretch the floor. And you look at how OU, I told you guys, Mark was freaking out about, this is probably why he hasn't had me on, right? Because Mark was freaking out, oh, Oklahoma, it's going to be, you know, mass exodus. They're going to have a whole new team. Hey, look, dude, they're all going to have whole new teams, right? Everybody's leaving everywhere. Oklahoma State has a whole new team. OU, they added Kalixi, the kid from Maine, who's not a true point, but really a good scorer. He was playing with a virtual double team everywhere. I think, didn't they add Miles Reynolds, who's pretty good? plays off the ball. So there's their new backcourt. And then, you know, Reeves has got to sit a year, but look, he's got to continue to work on his body and got to learn to defend somebody, but he can really shoot the basketball.
I just had OU 11th in the Big 12. I mean, that's it. Now, Gottlieb, I don't know where, if he's moved him up to 7th or something like that.
11th like
in the
Big
12? Disagree them. Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
It's the joke. You got to pick up what he's putting
it.
Down.
I got
Top
it.
Service. You want in with this? We're going big time, man.
Gottlieb,
where are you going?
Well, you just tout service.
Now the gambling's legal.
Gambling's
you can't
legal.
Give your picks
Come
out on.
On
the radio. You were going to have to.
We're going to make people pay for those bad boys.
I love the idea that people are like, oh, now I can bet on sports. Do you know anybody who's won to
agree.
Bet on sports?
We agree on that.
Like, if you want to bet on sports, you're betting on sports in this country, more than likely.
Right. I'll just be honest with you, I don't love it. Just, it's not because anything's really changed. You know, I get that maybe some good can come out of it, some tax dollars. So maybe, obviously, in a place like Oklahoma, they can find ways to fix some of the problems in education. Although, wasn't that what the lottery was supposed to be for? Right?
Don't even get us started, Doug.
Thought that's what the lottery was supposed to be for. Like this is not, and then the next thing is like, okay, well, then we'll legalize weed because that'll pay for education. And then you'd be like, wait, why do we legalize weed? Like, because people like to smoke weed anyway.
Nothing says I love the children like some weed and gambling, right?
Exactly, but my issue is, I'm not a moralist. I just know that as somebody raising kids, it's hard to sit there and go like, "Hey, you shouldn't gamble," and then you're like, "Well, but gambling's legal now," and it's because we're promoting things that were quasi illegal in the past, right? None of our bookies, Mark and I used to play. My first bookie, my first experience in and last really experience in sports gambling came in Oklahoma City. We used to play ball at a church on the north side, and one of the guys there was like he was my guy, and I never forget. I was working at the Sports Animal, Dusty, and my wife was like, Angie said, "Hey, why'd you take $400 out of our account?" And I was like, "Well, I was down like 300 betting on football games." She's like, "What do you mean down?" Like, I was like, "Well, you know, I lost." "Well, you bet on the games?" "Yeah." "And you didn't win?" "No." "So why are you doing that? That's a complete waste of money. You're always going to lose." And, yeah, that was basically the end of my betting days. So, I mean, like, look, when I go to Vegas, I'll still throw money down because it's Vegas. And then you say, well, it's entertainment purposes. But I know that there are a lot of people that can't control. Like, you get a taste of it. You know, it's like if you ever had a dog and it gets a taste of chicken blood, like you can't keep them away from the chickens. Like that's how a lot of us are with gambling, and it's a serious vice. And it's always kind of been legal, but frowned upon. Making it out and out legal, not sure that's a great idea, especially when you get to, you know, kids 16, 17. And I know there are bookies in college that I heard about after college. I just think it's a volatile mix there.
Well, listen, if you ever want to get back on the horse, you can just subscribe to Mark and I's Tout Service, and you won't have to worry about losing anymore.
Oh, no.
We're
going to
win,
if
win,
I can,
win.
If I can.
We
if
got.
Can
hey, make... Miss was yelling at us. We have to tell you bye.
Okay. Miss was,
we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, great chat with you, Doug. We're going to call you every day. You told us to. Doug Gottlieb, Fox Sports 1. We're going to close up shop. I want to hear more about these underground bookies.
I don't know what the hell Gottlieb was talking
that Mark's
about.
Mark's been introducing Douglas Gottlieb.
That did not happen.
We're premium hemp and CBD.
Did Gottlieb work with us?
Up shop, huh?
Did he even work in the Sports Animal? I don't remember.
I don't know. That was before my time. We're closing up shop next. Robinson Cano has been suspended 80 games from Major League Baseball. Banned substance, Marcus. It was not a performance enhancer. And he says that there is a mistake. That he was given a medication by a doctor, and that he did not realize that medication was on the banned substance list. Now, here's what, and I don't know if they're going to be able to prove this or if it matters, but here's what I would say. I say this all the time. It's a professional athlete's job to know what they're putting in their body, plain and simple. Now, if a doctor said, take this, prescribed it to him, you would think that a doctor should know what you can and can't take. Maybe they don't, but it is a Major League Baseball player or a professional athlete's job to know what they're putting into their body. But this is where, if this is true, and Robinson Cano can prove this, I would do whatever I can to appeal this because, Mark, he will lose.
He's already appealed.
$11.85 million of his 24. of the 24 he's going to make?
He's already appealed it.
Oh, he's already appealed it? Okay.
Yeah, it's a final decision.
Oh, this is the final decision?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My bad. My apologies.
They knew before the season he appealed it, but that, yeah, it's staggering. Just go ahead and read what is going to happen to him. It's staggering how much he's going to lose.
$11.85 million is what he's going to lose of his $24 million salary for 2018.
He's ineligible to play in the All-Star game and the postseason as well.
Wow. That's crazy. I'm wondering what it. I wonder what it was.
I don't know. It said we knew somebody that took what was the name? FU something. I don't know.
Anyway,
furosemide.
I'll say, man, that's a lot of money to be losing. Again, I don't know the ins and out of how legit this is, but Robinson Cano, from now on, you best know what you're putting in your body, because you signed that big contract with the Mariners, you might as well. Make all your money. But the other thing I was going to mention, we have a game two tonight. I got the Cavs. Mark, who you got?
I will take Cleveland as well, Dusty. I do believe that I think that certainly Boston's capable of winning, but I like Cleveland.
And we didn't get a chance to get into this, but Dez Bryant still unsigned. And I've got here on Yahoo the six teams with the Vegas says the best chance to get Dez Bryant. Real quickly, I'm going to read them. 6, New England, 5, Indianapolis Colts, 4, Carolina Panthers, 3, Washington Redskins, 2, New York Giants, 1, the Houston Texans. Odd that the New York Giants are that high. I thought they'd already said they do not want his services. I do think Dez Bryant ends up on an NFL roster this year. I think New England's very interesting.
I just want to see how much his skills have gone away. But, yeah, he'll end up on a roster someplace.
I mean, we've seen his skills go away. The NFL catches. He doesn't have the separation anymore. It's interesting, though, yards after the catch, he was still fourth in the NFL last year. Like, he is a tough dude to tackle. I understand he's got some off the field people worried about, you know, his bravado. Is it passion? Is it look at me? Is it passion or distraction? I think that's the question at this point. And how productive are you determines how much you're willing to put up with. But at the same time, I expect him to be on a roster. It wouldn't shock me if the New England Patriots, they've gone down rabbit holes like that before. Because if you can get him to buy in and behave, I do think he can still be a productive wide receiver. He's not a number one. He's not a $12 million a year guy like he was going to get paid last year. But for $1 million, $2 million a year for a guy who's trying to prove himself, I don't know. I disagree with Jim in that aspect. I do think he's a guy that can still help a roster. But clearly, the National Football League has spoken and said he is not a highly sought-after commodity, and he's going to have to take far less than what I think he initially thought when Dallas released him and made him a free agent. By the way, speaking of Dallas, we'll have Brad Sham on tomorrow at 12:25 to talk some Dallas Cowboy football. Also have Royce Young wrapping up tonight's Eastern Conference Finals. Been a fun day here at Premium Hemp and CBD Company. Again, 9650 North May Avenue. Mark and I are on the CBD today, and we are feeling great. Relieves pain, reduces inflammation, reduces anxiety, helps support sleep, promotes healthy hearts, and reduces nausea. Mark not only got the oil, you drank a drink. You're going to be really good and lubed up.
Yeah, it's the official drink of Nick Diaz.
They got really, really good products. You got to come by and check this place out again. It's Premium Hemp and CBD Company, 9650 North May Avenue, right here in Oklahoma City. We got to step out the way. The Ultimate is up next on the Afternoon Sports Beat. Don't go anywhere. Keep it here on 98.1 WWLS, the sports animal.